If you're just joining us for the first time today, we have been working through this marvelous little book for some time now, and actually today we are coming to the end of 1 Peter. So today we are going to look at 1 Peter chapter 5, and we are going to finish up this letter. 1 Peter chapter 5, and we are going to look at starting in verse 6 all the way through the end of the letter. 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 6. And I'm going to ask that whenever you find your place there, whether you're with us in this room here this morning, or you are watching on your phone or your iPad or your TV or your computer, whatever avenue that you are joining us this morning, I'm going to ask that whenever you find your place there in 1 Peter chapter 5, that you would stand with me. That you would stand with me in your houses, that you would stand with me in your bedrooms, in your living rooms, wherever you are at, that you would stand with me, and let's honor the reading of the beautiful word of God together. 1 Peter chapter 5, starting, let's actually start at the end of verse 5, where Peter says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Then he says in verse 6, humble yourselves therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Verse 8, Peter says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Verse 9, he says, resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Verse 11, to him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Then these final greetings from Peter, he writes in verse 12, by Silvanus, a faithful brother as I regard him, I have written briefly to you, exhorting and declaring that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. She who is at Babylon, who is likewise chosen, sends you greetings. And so does Mark, my son. Greet one another with the kiss of love. Peace to all you who are in Christ. Would you pray with me this morning? And God, we come before your throne. God, thanking you so much for your beautiful word. God, your word that is perfect, your word that is infallible. God, your word that will not return void to us today, whether we are watching on Facebook or on our app or on our website, whether we're watching from our living rooms or from our bedrooms or from our kitchens today. God, your word will still speak to us. Your word, God, will still, God, speak to our hearts. And Father, we just ask and pray, God, that for these next few moments, that you would open up our hearts, God, and that we would hear what you would have to say to us today from 1 Peter. God, I just ask and pray that you would just, God, remind us, even on this cold day, Father, this cold day with the snow that's happening, Father, that you are good, Lord, that you are kind, that you are merciful, and that you are with us. God, you know our hurts and our needs and our concerns today, and God, we just ask and pray, Lord, that you would just simply, God, surround us, God, as a people, as a church family, even though we are dispersed today because of the weather, Father, we just ask and pray that you would unite us all today in one spirit. God, remind us that you are right there with us in our homes today, in our living rooms, in our kitchens, in our bedrooms, and you are right here with us. God, we love you, we love you, we love you. We just ask and pray, Father, right now that you would speak to us through your word. God, we love you. In your name we pray. Amen. So one of my most favorite movies of all time is the movie Last of the Mohicans. And there is this particular scene where Hawkeye and Alice and Cora and Colonel Monroe, they are fleeing from Magua and the Huron Indians. And as they are fleeing away from Magua and the Huron Indians, they come to this waterfall, and in a sense, they really are trapped. They're trapped, and they come to this conclusion that Hawkeye and his brother, and also his father, that they really need to jump. If they are going to survive, if they have any hope for survival whatsoever, Hawkeye, he needs to go and get supplies. He needs to go and he needs to get powder. And right before he jumps, he says these words, to Alice. Sorry, to Cora, he says to these words. He says, "You stay alive. If they don't kill you, they'll take you up north to the Huron lands." He says, "Submit. Do you hear?" He says, "You're strong. You survive. You stay alive. No matter what occurs, I will find you. No matter how long it takes, no matter how far, I will find you." And it's an awesome, awesome movie scene. And what Hawkeye is doing here in this scene is he is giving Cora and Alice and Colonel Monroe, he is giving them specific and critical instructions for staying alive. And in a sense, that is what Peter is doing here in the text that we are looking at today. Peter is giving believers final reminders and instructions on how to live for the glory of God. And in today's text, Peter calls on believers to walk in humility before God. He calls on believers to walk in humility before God. And in these verses that we're getting ready to look at, Peter, he speaks to the blessings of walking in humility, and he also talks about how one can practically walk in humility. Again, look at the text with me. The end of verse 5, Peter says, "God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Then he says in verse 6, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God." And this idea of humility that Peter is talking about is the idea of completely submitting to God. Completely submitting to God in times of trials, in times of suffering, and also during hard times in life. You see, humility before God is coming up under His lordship all of the time, but especially when things are difficult in life. You see, humbling oneself under the mighty hand of God ultimately is trusting that God will work everything out for His children. It's trusting that God will deliver His children. It's trusting that God will take care of His children. That's why Peter says, "Humble yourselves," and then he goes on to say, "so that at the proper time He may exalt you." So that at the proper time, He may exalt you. And this exaltation that Peter is talking about is more than likely end time or end of life exaltation when one sees Christ by death or by His return. You see, one day God will right every wrong. One day God will take care of every single evil on the earth. One day, God will wipe every single tear off of your face. And this is why Peter says, "Humble yourselves before God's mighty hand." He says, in difficult times, humble yourselves under God's mighty hand. Why? Because God is in control. When your enemies afflict you or hurt you, Peter is saying, humble yourselves under God's mighty hand, because God will take care of you. And then Peter talks about how one can practically humble themselves under God's mighty hand. Look at verse 7. He says, "You can do this by casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you." And this comes from Psalm 55. You see, the context of Psalm 55 is this. It's a psalmist imploring God to help him in his suffering. Psalm 55:22 says, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved." And this word casting that this psalmist uses, and Peter uses the same word as well, this word casting is the idea of throwing. It's the idea of throwing your anxieties on God. It's the idea of throwing your worries to God and letting God deal with your anxieties and letting God deal with your worry. It's like casting a net or throwing a baseball or throwing a football. And it takes humility to do this. You see, the opposite of humility is pride. Pride says, I can handle this issue. Pride says that I can handle this burden, but humility says this. Humility says, here you go, God. I cannot do this. Humility says, God, I give this to you. God, you handle this burden. God, you handle this issue. God, you handle this anxiety. You see, God wants you to cast all of your burdens onto Him. God does not want you handling your burdens. And the question is why? Why does God want you to give Him all of your worries and all of your anxieties and all of your burdens? Well, Peter answers that for us. And the reason why is this. Is because God cares for you. God cares about you. You see, God, He cares about what you are facing. God cares about what you are going through today. God, He cares about your worries. He cares about your burdens. He cares about your anxieties. And God wants you to give them all over to Him. He does not want you handling them. And this morning, whether you're in this place with us today or you are watching us online, if you only hear one thing this morning, hear this. Hear what Peter says. Cast all of your anxieties on God. Why? Because He cares for you. Again, if you only hear one thing this morning, hear this. Cast all of your anxieties on God. Because God cares for you. Again, we can walk in humility before God by casting all of our anxieties to God and on to God. So it begs this question for all of us this morning based on what Peter is saying to us. And the question is this. What burdens and worries are you holding on to today that you need to cast over onto God? Again, I'm going to ask that question again. What burdens and worries are you holding on to today that you need to cast over to God? Another question that we need to ask as well based on this text. What situation is going on in your life where you need to humbly step aside and let God take over? Maybe it is a relational issue that's not going your way, and God is calling you to give that burden to Him. God is calling you to humbly step aside and to let Him take over that relational issue. Maybe it's a job issue that's not going your way, and God is calling you to give that job issue, to give that burden to Him, to humbly step aside and to let God take that issue over. Maybe today you are facing a financial issue. Or maybe today you are facing a health issue. Or maybe you are facing an issue with an estranged child that is, it's not going your way. And God is calling you today. He is calling on all of us to give that burden over to Him. To humbly step aside and to let God take over. To let God handle that burden. I love this chorus in this song called Mansion Builder by the band from the late 70s and early 80s called the second chapter of Acts. And the chorus of this song reads like this. Why should I worry? Why should I fret? Because I've got a mansion builder who ain't through with me yet. And today God is saying to you, He's saying to myself, He's saying to all of us, He's saying, don't worry. Don't fret. He is saying, I've got this. Trust me in whatever situation that you are facing, in whatever situation that you are going through. Next in this text, Peter calls on believers to resist the devil by the power of God. He calls on believers to resist the devil by the power of God. Look at verse 8 with me. Peter writes, he says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Again, so Peter says in this text, he says, be sober-minded. He says, be watchful. And this is the idea of thinking realistically about Satan and his wicked schemes. Ultimately, it's a call for vigilance and watchfulness. Why? Because Satan is after the people of God. Satan is after the children of God. You see, Satan is ultimately the persecutor of Christians. Satan is the tempter. Satan is the great deceiver. Satan is the accuser. Satan is the adversary. Satan is the slanderer. You see, Satan, he is the total opposite of God. This text tells us that God, he cares for you. And God wants you to cast all of your burdens onto him. But Satan is the complete opposite of God. As God cares for you and wants to handle your burdens for you, Satan wants to destroy you. Satan wants to devour you. This is why Peter is saying, be aware about this. Be watchful. Think clearly about this. Satan, he's after the people of God. This is why he says at the beginning of verse 9, he says, resist him. Resist Satan. Resist the devil, being firm in your faith. You see, believers have an active role and responsibility in resisting Satan. And the way that believers resist Satan, what Peter is saying here, is by being firm in their faith. By being firm in their faith. And this boils down ultimately to trusting God. Trusting that God's ways are correct and best. Trusting that God's word is true and authoritative, and I can obey it because I trust it. Trusting God is following God no matter what and at all cost. So we resist Satan, who is after the people of God, who is looking to devour the people of God. We resist Satan by being firm in our faith. We can also resist Satan's schemes and temptations through prayer. We can also resist Satan's schemes and temptations by doing life with other believers. If an animal is isolated apart from the herd, it's so much easier for a lion to go and to attack that animal. And the same is true for believers. You see, we need each other to resist Satan, the roaring lion. And notice in this text that God only calls on believers to resist Satan by standing firm in their faith. God does not call on believers to beat Satan. God does not call on believers to destroy Satan, to vanquish Satan, to defeat Satan. God only calls on believers to resist Satan. Why? Here's the answer. Because God has already defeated Satan. You see, Satan is an already defeated foe. Satan is an already defeated enemy. Church family, we know what the end of the book says. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. The end of the book says the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. You see, Satan, he is already lost, and he's trying to devour believers on his way to hell. And this is why Peter says, simply resist him. Resist Satan by remaining firm in your faith. Satan has already lost. Those who are in Christ Jesus have already won. And look at what Peter says. He says, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. In other words, the same type of issues that you and I will go through for living for Christ are the exact same type of issues that are experienced by believers all over the world. And this reminds us that we are not alone in our walk with Christ. You see, we have kindred spirits with people from all over the world. With people from China, with people from Russia, with people from the Middle East, people from Europe, Mexico, and South America. And I find it very interesting that the times that I have been privileged to go on mission trips and I have met with other believers in Christ on the mission field, and I've asked them things like this: how can I pray for you? And the answers that they always give me are the exact same type of answers that we would hear here in Oklahoma and in America. They'll say things like this: would you pray that I would stand strong in Christ? They'll say things like this: would you pray that I would resist temptation? Would you pray for my brother who is lost? Would you pray that God would provide for me? Would you pray for my mother who is suffering and sick? So here again in this text, Peter, he calls on believers to resist Satan. So it begs this question for us today, and the question is this: how do you need to resist Satan by standing firm in your faith today? How do you need to resist Satan by standing firm in your faith today? Maybe you are in a situation in your home or in your family or your workplace where you are not being treated correctly or fairly. And that's exactly what Peter's readers were facing. And God is calling on you to resist Satan by being above reproach in the situation that you are in. When you're tempted to do something against the will of God, Peter is saying, resist Satan by being firm in your faith. Maybe it's been a difficult season of life for you, and you're being drawn away from the things of God. And Peter is saying to us today, he's saying to you, he is saying, resist Satan by being firm in your faith. Again, so Peter, he calls on believers to walk in humility before God, but especially during times that are difficult. He calls on believers to resist Satan. And next, he calls on believers in this text, in these final and encouraging words, he calls on believers to rest in the faithfulness of God. He calls on you and I to rest in the faithfulness of God. Look at verse 10 with me. Peter says, "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." In this verse, it's speaking to what God will do for believers who suffer now, but it's also speaking to what God will do for believers in eternity, in heaven. I love what Thomas Schreiner writes about this text. He says, "The meaning of these four verbs, restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish," he says, "these four verbs go together to make the same point. The God who has called believers to eternal glory will strengthen and fortify them so that they are able to endure until the end." You see, in your suffering, in your difficult times, in your trials, you can rest in the assurance of God, because God is doing a work in your life. God is, he's preparing you for something. He is using this suffering, he is using this difficult season of life to strengthen you and to fortify you. You see, you can rest in his assurance today, and you can rest in his assurance tomorrow. You can rest in his assurance forever. You can rest in his assurance for all of eternity. You can rest in the faithfulness of God in your suffering and whatever you are facing. Peter is saying that one day you will fully be restored. One day you will fully be confirmed. You will fully be strengthened and established forever. God is doing that for you. He is doing that work in your life, even in the difficult seasons and the difficult trials of life. Verse 11, Peter says, "To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen." You see, God has all dominion. God has all might. God has all strength. And this verse, it simply means that our God is sovereign. God is sovereign in the good times, and he is also sovereign in times of suffering. He is sovereign in times of difficulty as well. To God be the dominion, the glory, and the power forever and ever. And then Peter gives us these wonderful and beautiful closing encouragements in verses 12 through 14. Peter writes, look at verse 12 with me. He says, "By Silvanus, a faithful brother as I regard him, I have written briefly to you, exhorting and declaring that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. Silvanus was Peter's secretary, and Silvanus either delivered Peter's letter or he inscribed it for Peter. And then Peter, he sums up his entire letter in just these few short words. Peter essentially says, in the midst of your suffering, in the midst of your difficulty, in the midst of your hard times, Peter is saying to you and I, he is saying this. He says, stand firm in the grace of God. That essentially sums up the entire letter of 1 Peter. Stand firm in the grace of God. As you are waiting on the return of Christ, as you are an exile on this planet, as you are a pilgrim making your way on to heaven, Peter sums up his letter by saying, stand firm in the grace of God. He's saying, God has you. God is in control. God is with you. Look at verse 13. He says, she who is at Babylon, who is likewise chosen, sends you greetings. And so does Mark, my son. So he mentions Babylon. And Babylon is a reference to the church at Rome where Peter is writing from. And ultimately, this is a bookend to Peter's letter. You see, Babylon is also a reference to Christians being exiles on the earth. If you remember at the very beginning of Peter's letter in chapter 1, Peter starts off his entire letter by saying, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And Peter is saying to these readers in modern day Turkey, he is saying to them, as you are exiles on this planet, so too are we here in Rome. You see, church family, all Christians are simply exiles and pilgrims and sojourners on this planet. We are only passing through. We are just here for a moment compared to eternity. And then he says in verse 14, greet one another with a kiss of love. And that's very appropriate for us on this cold Valentine's Day. But he says, greet one another with a kiss of love, and don't let that scare you. This is something that was cultural for that time period, and this is a form of brotherly Christian affection. And it would be like us saying today, hey, go and find your brother and sister in Christ and give them a hug, or give them a handshake, or give them a fist bump. He says, peace to all of you who are in Christ. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. So, in closing, I want us to see this, that all of this, it points us to our Savior. It points us to the Son of God. It points us to Jesus Christ. As Peter calls on believers to walk in humility before God in whatever situation they are facing in life, this points us to Jesus. Why? Because this is who Jesus was. Jesus did this perfectly. When Jesus was being led like a lamb to the slaughter to pay the penalty of our sins on the cross, the Bible says that Jesus didn't even open up his mouth. When Jesus was being beaten, when he was being spit on, when he was being punched and made fun of, when he was being forced to wear a crown of thorns, when he was being forced to wear a scarlet robe, Jesus didn't pay anyone back. Jesus went through it all in humility for you and I. And Jesus, he gives us the perfect example of how to walk in humility before God in whatever situations that we might face in life. This points us to Jesus in so many ways. You see, we can resist the devil by standing firm in our faith, by looking to the example of Jesus, by looking to how Jesus lived his life. The Bible tells us that in every respect that Jesus was tempted as we are, yet he was without sin. The Bible also tells us that whenever Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, he resisted Satan by the word of God. So Jesus, we see that he gives us the perfect example to follow in resisting Satan. All of this text, it points us to our wonderful Savior. It points us to the Son of God, Jesus Christ. As well today, we can rest in the faithfulness of God because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. You see, if God did not spare his own Son, Jesus Christ, we know that God too will give us all things. You see, Jesus, ultimately, he is the one who gives us strength to stand firm in the true grace of God. May we continue to trust Jesus. May we continue to follow Jesus. And may we continue to worship Jesus. Now, I'm going to ask that whether you're with us in this place this morning or you're watching online, that you would bow your heads with me. That you would bow your heads with us this morning. And maybe today you're watching us online and you're wondering about what we're talking about today. You're wondering about this Jesus that we're talking about. And I want to speak to you for just a few moments. And I'm just going to ask that you would just quiet your hearts for these next few moments. Why do we need Jesus? Why do we need Jesus Christ? Well, the Bible tells us this. The Bible tells us that we all have sin in our life. What is sin? Sin, those are the wrong things that we've done. Sin, those are mistakes that we've made, mess-ups that we've had in our life. And the Bible says that we've all committed those. And the Bible also says this, that it takes one sin. It takes one mistake to be separated from God for all of eternity. And the only way that we can have the hope of being with God in heaven is to have Jesus Christ. It's by placing our faith and our trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. What is the finished work of Jesus Christ? It's that story that we talk about at Easter so often. It's that story that talks about how he came to this earth and he lived a perfect and a sinless life. And he went to the cross and he died on that cross to pay the penalty for our sin. And the Bible says that by placing our faith and our trust in that finished work on the cross, that we too can have the hope that we're talking about, that we too can have the hope of eternal life. And maybe you're watching today and you're wondering about that. You're wondering if you are a follower of Christ. You're considering becoming a follower of Christ. You've considered other options, other avenues, other religions. But have you considered Jesus? Jesus himself says that I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And as Jesus gives us the hope for eternal life, he also gives us hope in this life. As Peter says, to stand firm in the grace of God, Jesus Christ and his power dwelling inside of the believers in Christ are given power from Jesus to be able to stand firm in the grace of God. So today, would you call on Jesus Christ to save you? Maybe today you're watching online and you feel this drawing in your heart. You feel this drawing in your spirit to trust Christ by a simple faith. And today you can do that. You can maybe pray a prayer like this from the depths of your heart. God, I know that I'm a sinner. And this morning, I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin. I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I commit my life to follow him from this point forward. I trust you with my life, God. I believe in your finished work on the cross. I receive your free gift of salvation today through Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for saving me. And God, today we come before your throne simply saying thank you so much for your word. God, help us as followers of Christ, help us as believers in Christ, by the power of the Spirit of God that is dwelling inside of us, as we are sojourners on this planet, as we are exiles on this planet, ultimately making our way to the eternal city called heaven. God, help us by the power that Jesus Christ gives us to stand firm in the true grace of God. God, help us to walk in humility. God, help us to resist Satan by standing firm in our faith, even when it's difficult, even whenever we're going through difficult times. God, help us by the power of the Spirit of God that is dwelling inside of us to resist Satan. And God, help us to rest in the assurance of God that He is with us, that He has us, that He will never ever leave us, and that He will never ever forsake us. God, we love You. And in closing today, God, we just come before Your throne and we ask You, God, just today in these next several days, as we are in just a crazy time with the weather, with the temperatures dropping so low, Father, we just ask and pray that You would protect us, that You would keep us safe. For those of us who are in this room today that have made all this happen, God, through the live stream and the technology, God, we ask and pray that You would protect as we travel home. God, we love You, we love You, we love You. Thank You so much for Your incredible word that never ever returns void. Even on a day like today, God, Your word is good and speaks to our hearts. We love You, God. In Your name we pray. Amen.